11th at the Brecht Forum. See you there.
Visitors from other worlds. Dreamtime visions. Psychic phenomena. UFOs. The internet. And more. UFO Desk. A feature of Sydney Smith's Carrier Wave. Alternate Monday mornings between 1 and 2 a.m. UFO Desk over WBAI, New York. Produced by Paul Williams. UFO Desk.
And the time is just about 8 o'clock, which means another exciting edition of Off the Hook is just around the corner. Good evening to everybody. This is Manuel Goldstein, another edition of Off the Hook, where we talk about all kinds of things on the internet, things that affect you technology-wise. Bernie S. is with us on the phone from Philadelphia. Bernie, you there?
Hello.
How you doing?
It's cold in Philadelphia.
It's cold in Philadelphia. I wonder why. We had winter canceled this year, so I don't know why it would be cold anywhere. Anything new non-weather-wise?
Oh, yes. The pirate radio community is up in arms.
The pirate radio community is up in arms? Okay, that's something to talk about. We'll be getting into that in just a moment. And we have updates on decency. We have updates on the military and some high school madness, which we'll be getting to. And, of course, we'll be taking phone calls, too, at 212-279-3400. And I think this week we're actually on the Internet as well as over the radio in New York City. Last week, of course, we had some problems. We incorrectly said that MCI was down. Actually, MCI was down, but it was MCI's connection to our provider that was down. So there's some kind of a dispute going on with the bill or something like that, and that's why we weren't up. But I believe everything is cool now. We'll find out, though, and I guess as time goes on. To get into decency, and Bernie, I think you'll find this kind of interesting. New Mexico took aim at internet pornography Monday as Governor Gary Johnson signed a law making it illegal to give minors access to indecent material online. Now, right away, that sentence is just kind of wrong. New Mexico taking aim at internet pornography by making it illegal to see indecent material. Indecent material is not pornography. You know, indecent material is, all that stuff we can't say on the air, you know, because it might offend a preacher someplace. But it's not pornography. Pornography is you know, something very graphic and specific. Anyway, the new law flies in the face of a Supreme Court ruling limiting the power of lawmakers to restrict speech on the Internet, and free speech advocates are already promising to challenge the New Mexico law in court. Opponents of net decency laws point to two 1997 cases that could serve as precedent in their challenge to the new state law. In June, the Supreme Court, of course, overturned the Communications Decency Act, writing in its ruling that Congress's attempt to ban indecent and patently offensive speech violated First Amendment constitutional protections. In a case dealing with a similar New York State bill a few months earlier, a federal judge ruled that state lawmakers do not have the power to impose net content restrictions affecting companies outside state borders. The Internet is one of those areas of commerce must be marked off as a national preserve to protect users from inconsistent legislation that, taken to its most extreme, could paralyze development of the net altogether. Bernie, why do you think this keeps happening?
I think the enforcer types out there just want to keep people from seeing things that they don't want them to see, and they just keep trying to get around the Constitution. And there's no way around the Constitution, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, the New Mexico law will allow law enforcement officials to pursue content providers to allow children access to material deemed harmful to minors, but makes exceptions for companies that rate their sites or require credit cards to subscribe. So you have to use a credit card fraudulently now if you're a minor in order to see this and not get them in trouble.
Has the ACLU taken an interest in fighting this law?
I have not seen specific mention of them yet. This story comes from... what does this come from? Tech Web News. Whatever that is, Tech Web News. Just grab that off the net, and that's the deal with that. Yeah, you got to watch out for those indecency bills. Very interesting.
Especially when they don't define what indecent is.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. It's a blank check. They can make indecent anything they want it to be. Unbelievable. Military news. And we all know how exciting this is. On the heels of the recent attack on unclassified Pentagon computer systems, three Army worldwide websites were hacked on March 8th. This comes from Federal Computer Week. The Army Air Defense Artillery School, the Army 7th Signal Brigade, and the Army Executive Software Systems Directorate. Oh boy. All fell victim last Sunday to hackers who replaced official material on these websites with messages about the previous Pentagon attacks, which occurred last month. The hackers mocked those recent attacks, which Deputy Secretary of Defense John Hammer described as the most organized and systematic attack the Pentagon has seen to date. Yeah, that quote right there, you know, that doesn't say anything about computers. They're saying it's the most organized and systematic attack the Pentagon has seen to date. I mean, that you know, eclipses all military action, I guess, that's taken place. These kids really have made a name for themselves.
Did you hear what Janet Reno said a couple weeks ago, equating computers with weapons of mass destruction?
Yes, yes. Her logic can also be equated that way, too. A message from the hackers on one of the hacked DoD pages read, "For those of you in the security community, the so-called Pentagon hackers are using nothing more advanced than the STATD, a scanning technique. Get a list of 200 sites and sit and try the same exploit to every one of them. You're going to get one out of 100 sites eventually." I guess that's a good point. But it's kind of funny that, you know, you hack a site to say the people that hack the other site aren't as good as they think they are. And that's, speaking of those people, though, this is according to Wired News. One of the two teenagers rousted, I guess it was last week, by the FBI for hacking government servers told an internet activist that he still has high-level access to hundreds of government and military networks. Further, the youth said, colleagues upset with the way his story has been sensationalized by the media are planning online retaliatory actions. That could be what we saw a couple of days ago. The hacker, who goes by the name Machiavelli, made the comments in several phone interviews and email exchanges with John Varanis. That's the guy we had on the air a few weeks ago, and I couldn't pronounce it then. I'm not going to try now, but he's the guy who runs Anti-Online, founder of the computer security group Anti-Online. He's published several excerpts from the conversations on his website, www.antionline.com. In a series of telephone interviews, the youth, a junior in high school in Cloverdale, California, said he wanted to set the record straight about his encounter with the FBI. "They came into my house, took me in the living room, started taking all of the computer equipment from my room. They didn't even leave the phone line leading from the wall to the modem. They took all of my CDs, music CDs, data CDs, my printer, speakers, everything." Machiavelli and his partner, who goes by the name Too Short, both lived in the same neighborhood and were both visited by federal agents on the same night. They were very upset by the way they were treated by the FBI. They were roughhoused, according to them. However, Machiavelli was neither handcuffed nor placed under arrest. And though agents removed all of his equipment, the youth still has internet access through his school and is able to send email and all that kind of thing. One of the things the agents came back to over and over was the LLNL, Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory. They wanted to know if he had read any files, if he remembered the names of any files and folders, if he knew if anything was classified. I guess they don't really know themselves, so they're depending on him to tell them.
Sounds like they're fishing.
Yeah, I think they are fishing. But it's interesting how these stories just keep coming back. You know, they never really get settled. All right, a couple of miscellaneous bits. We mentioned, actually, somebody called up a few weeks ago with an offer for free PPP, and they started to give out a password, and, you know, we had to stop them right there. But I'm told now that there is more information if you go to www.freeppp.com. That will give you all the information that you want, and we don't have to read passwords out over the air that way. So just go over to www.freeppp.com and see what you can do about getting free internet access. Here's a letter from Sweden, one of our listeners over there. Just giving some comparisons in rates and things like that. We have one national phone provider owned by the government. Telia offers a few different plans for domestic use. Telia Private has a monthly fee of $13.12. I assume this is American dollars. Installation cost of $121. Telia Private Youth, I guess young people get lower rates. Yeah, 18 to 25 years old, it's half the price. The call rates that apply to everybody, local calls are 0.025 cents a minute. Long distance, which is the rest of Sweden, is 0.0625 cents a minute. That really breaks it down. Every call is charged what they call an opening fee of 5 cents. There's no flat rate alternative. A monthly phone bill of about $60 to $120 is not uncommon. If you enjoy internet dial-up, you could easily be billed $200 to $300 per month. If you want to move your phone, you'll have to pay $150. Because Telia was the builder of the POTS, they now enjoy a great monopoly situation where they own the whole national telephone network. A few other companies have started to offer long-distance calls a bit cheaper. The only problem is that the call always has to be switched through the local Telia phone switch, for which they debit the other company 5 cents a minute. The sad part is that Tullia still has rather low rates compared to other European countries. And that's certainly true. Some European countries are extremely high. One thing we wanted to do this week, we started last week, and maybe one of our listeners can help with this. We had this toll-free number we were calling about the 646 area code. You know, I had the thing all ready to go today. I clipped it out and I was going to bring it in, but I left it where I put it, I think. I don't have it with me. So if somebody has that phone number, we can call it later and listen to the entire little play that they have as far as introducing the 646 area code. Now, Bernie, I think you'll find it very interesting.
Oh, we heard a little bit last week, and it was pretty amusing.
You don't have the number on you, do you?
No, I wish I did.
Yeah.
In fact, I meant to call it later, but I forgot to write it down.
Well, in case one of our listeners wants to help us, it's in that little, whatever you call that newsletter, that Bell Atlantic newsletter that comes with your phone bill. I don't suppose anybody brought the phone bill with them today, so we don't have access to that information. 212-279-3400 is our phone number, country code 1 if you're outside the country, and follow whatever international dialing regulations you must do in the particular nation that you're in. A couple of stories from high schools. You know how high school students are always being persecuted for various things. It's interesting. You could do a whole magazine on just this. We were talking about a website last week that prints things that are censored from high school newspapers. Well, here are some stories. After listening to February 3rd show and hearing about a kid being expelled for hacker publications, I just wanted to show another side of moronic school administration. I was in the library and messing on the computer and accidentally figured out something about the Fortress 101 software they were using. They have a Novell network set up, and after you log in, you can move your mouse and click the start button. Right after the start bar thingy appears and the start menu will pop up. The uneducated teacher saw me do this, and then I got a Saturday for it. I guess that means he had to go there on Saturday or something. That's how they say it. Got a Saturday for it. I did absolutely nothing to the system, but they are paranoid and thought I'd changed something and still acted stubbornly after I showed them what I did. What I had access to by clicking the start button was nothing different from what I could get through Microsoft Works.
Oh my goodness.
Through the open dialog box. The worst thing about this is a week earlier I showed them they could increase how many computers had a certain newspaper archive because they were all connected to the same network and they took my advice. I guess he wants us to give out the name of the school. Because he says it, you know, says for the record. The school is Cardinal High School in Middlefield, Ohio. Yes, stand up and take a bow. Cardinal High School, Middlefield, Ohio. And, okay, well, that's a story added there. And here's another story. Last week, a few callers and email messages and snail mail messages happened to be based on the subject of students being punished, even expelled from school for doing nothing more than printing something or displaying information on the school or hacker-related information by webpage or underground newspapers. Almost 1 year ago, you could say I'm celebrating the anniversary, I was expelled from a high school in Illinois. I won't bother being specific, as opposed to the last listener, but the main point was that I was the head of a local group of hackers and freakers. We printed an underground magazine with information on making boxes and basics about hacking. It was quite famous around a few of the circles at school and gained popularity quickly. Unfortunately, this caused the creation of another underground newspaper, which was centered more closely on explosives, stealing, etc., and this caused some heads to start turning. That same week, one of the members in the group crashed the network at the school and then foolishly decided to lock each computer out with a startup password after having formatted, then corrupting the drives. Another member of the group began that week to dial out the telenet using the school's modem and trying to hack into NASA. It's like the thing to do these days. Why they did this, I don't know. Yes, it's stupid, but let me continue. While all this was going on, the NASA webpage was hacked by, you know, Hages, the Scottish thing. The name of the HP group at the school was FIRE, spelled with a PH. Apparently, the school board supposedly put two and two together. They called in the FBI. Yes, that's right, the FBI. And the longest investigation the school had ever had before began. As with most hacker cases, the first hacker that was pulled in squealed like a rat. He narked on all of his buddies. This didn't speed things up very much, however. Everyone's story was different. Some of the members were even being questioned for local robberies at the mall. This brought in more police and deeper investigation. Usually you say, oh, ha, 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 nobody had the same story, they're all screwed. Well, no, none of the members were stupid, nobody told the whole truth, and even each truth was overshadowed with a lie. The school did everything from outright threats to throwing us against each other by saying another had said that they admitted to blah, blah, blah. Some 20 students were pulled out of classes repeatedly for a week. Some were even in small interrogation rooms for over 10 hours. They have these interrogation rooms in schools now. Threatened with expellation? Expellation? Is that even a word? Threatened with expellation. Wow. Maybe that's even worse than being expelled. It's like, you know, a permanent, eternal expelling. Expellation. Most signed notes confessing to some crimes they never even committed. By not allowing some students on the first day to call home, which is a breach of civil rights, I believe, they got what they wanted. In the end, I got a lawyer, I got rid of all the evidence, and would not sign anything. For that, the dean of students at the school decided to cause my grades to actually go down by talking to my teachers. You've heard the old story about how the teacher hates you, I guess. Well, you're listening to the only person that ever meant it. I'm not sure what that means. I know this because another of the deans at the school happened to be a good friend of the family and almost risked his or her job by leaking information about the investigation. And I myself, who had never actually done anything in any way, was fighting back. It's so hard to believe that after reading all this, but let's assume it's true. In the end, this caused an eventual expellation for God knows what. Even the printing of the other underground newspaper was blamed on me, as well as anything else the school could pin down on me that they weren't able to pin down on anyone else. All the members received suspensions, two had to get truant officers, and some non-members, those who merely knew what was going on and possibly withheld information. Anyone at the school caught with one of the underground issues was also given a suspension. Locker searches were done, as well as pocket and backpack searches for anyone known to associate with any of the 20 students. Not only were rights violated, but it all started because of the school system's fear of hacking. I'm not giving the whole story here. That doesn't surprise me, but trust me, if it had not been a hacker group, nothing at all would have happened. Sure, some members did some pretty stupid things, but to get the rest of us in trouble, or even our friends who know nothing about computers in the first place, come on. Well, you know, there's an element of truth to this, but there's also, you know, a lot of stupidity going on in these kind of situations. That's where these other people come in, are associated with real crime, and you just get all these, you know, rings and rings of bad behavior. And you mix that up with honor and honesty and things like that. It just doesn't work. You know, you read a story like this and you say, boy, these people, they just don't get it. You know, they don't understand what the difference is between something that's wrong and something that's right. And that's the last thing you need. If you want to put out a newsletter about hacking, you have to, you know, have some sense of values. And by having people mixed up in it that are into, you know, explosive stealing, you know, friends that rob malls and things like that, it makes an already cloudy issue all the more murky and hard for the average person to figure out. So, yeah, of course, why be surprised when you're categorized as criminals when you hang out with and act as them? Bernie, does that make sense to you?
Oh, yes. It's all very confusing when you just have to keep on the straight and narrow and don't lose sight of the hacking ideal is all about.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know that better than anybody as far as, you know, what they can get you for in associations and things like that. But when you're involved in something controversial, you don't want to be involved in something that's downright illegal, wrong, and stupid on top of that, because that just makes it all the easier for the controversial thing to be condemned. So hopefully that will get through to a few people. But we are interested in hearing your stories, you know, as far as your adventures through school and things like that. Our email address, oth@2600.com. And we'll look forward to any kind of mail. If you want to mail us regular mail, which we always welcome, of course, it's somehow a lot nicer. Our address is WBAI, off the hook, 505 8th Avenue, New York, New York, 10018. That's right. Now, Bernie, what's this about steal this radio downtown, the community radio station that's on the air without permission of the FCC. They got, did they get raided or something? What happened to them?
Well, it was a near raid by the FCC. In fact, I could bring someone in on the call in about 1 minute that has some more direct knowledge of that. If you want to put me on hold for a minute and come back, I'll have him on with me, and he can speak more knowledgeably about this.
Okay, as long as he remembers that this is not the free radio type of thing.
Oh, yeah.
These FCC restrictions and regulations about speech and content and things like that. So as long as that's clear.
Do not worry.
All right, I won't.
Well, right. continue talking about another subject.
Well,
and
you
then,
know, those were all my subjects. I exhausted everything.
Oh, come on. You must have one more subject up your sleeve.
You know what I'll do? I'll take a phone call. How about that?
There you go. Take a call.
Then when you come back, we'll just resume seamlessly.
And if you lose me, call me back.
Okay. Well, we'll try not to do that.
Okay.
All right.
Be right back.
So Bernie S. going to get somebody from Steal This Radio to tell us what happened with the the alleged pseudo raid or whatever. Let's take a phone call while we're waiting. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Hey, sorry I don't know what you guys are talking about, but I have a really quick question for you.
Okay, why don't you know what we're talking about?
Because I'm driving right now and I live in Boston. I don't happen to have real audio connected to my dashboard yet.
You don't have real audio connected to your car, boy. At least tell us what kind of phone you're using, because you're obviously using something weird.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what. Right now I'm using a digital PCS phone by Cellular One. It's TDMA technology.
Uh-huh.
But I bought a GSM phone today.
Okay.
From OmniPoint.
Uh-huh.
And
they have service up there now, right?
Yeah, they do. It's been going on for about 2 weeks. He said they have about 511 sites around the city. Cell sites, whatever you call them.
Right.
Anyway, he sold me this phone, and he didn't know what the PIN number was for the SIM card. And we called. He actually gave me his phone, and I called a bunch of his coworkers, and no one knew.
Uh-huh.
And we tried to call customer service, and we were on hold for about 20 minutes. So, do you happen to know? Is there a default PIN number or anything? Or?
Gee, that's, I don't think so. I don't think it's that easy. if you have an evening to spend, I'd suggest calling OmniPoint customer service and staying on hold.
Yeah.
And getting them to maybe figure it out. I mean, they really should give you this information.
That's what I thought, too.
Stump them.
This is what they do, isn't it? That's what I was. I asked him. I mean, he had me try 000 and then 1234, and after that, it said you have one attempt left before your SIM card is locked up. So.
Oh, that's just great. That's just lovely.
Yeah. So I don't know. I thought I'd ask you guys, but apparently, do they maybe assign a number once they set up your service? Or?
Well, no. This is something they gave you, right? This is something you bought from them. So why are you the one doing it?
Exactly. It's ridiculous.
Well, I suggest you march right back into that store and demand some satisfaction, because that's not the way. That's not the way to win customers over.
Yeah, unfortunately, they were closing in 15 minutes, and I was late for an appointment. But
well, march back tomorrow then.
Yeah, all we could do was talk about how high their stock price is now.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, all right, what are you guys talking about anyway?
We're talking about, pirate radio, amongst other things, and,
And we're back on.
We're back on. Bernie S. is on the phone with us, and we have somebody from Steal This Radio who's going to tell us.
Yes, PJ.
How you doing?
Excellent.
All right, you hurry on home and turn us on real audio. If you missed the show, listen to
certainly
it on the
will.
Web.
Great, thanks a lot.
All right, take care.
Bye-bye.
There's a caller in a car in Boston speeding away and on a PCS phone. So, okay, who do we have with us from Steal This Radio?
Hi, this is Pete Treatish from Radio Mutiny in Philadelphia.
Oh, okay, so you're not from Steal This Radio, you're from the one in Philadelphia.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, but do you know what happened to Steal This Radio?
Yeah, I actually came by to visit yesterday.
Uh-huh.
To confer with them about their FCC visit.
And?
Well, sounds like they got their visit the same as we did. A couple months ago. And, I'd actually, prefer, for them to, sort of speak to themselves about, the exact context of the whole thing.
Okay, but you're telling us what occurred, what actually happened to them. Was it a raid? Was it a visit? What was it?
I probably should just put you in contact with them, because I didn't know that was actually what we were going to be talking about. I can't really speak for Steel This Radio or anything like that.
Okay.
Can you speak about what you were told had happened, not what they're planning to do, or what have you heard had happened?
you know, you, like, I don't know what they're planning to do. I'm sorry about that. You know, it's really for them to, you know, to talk about as opposed to me.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Well, we'll reach somebody then.
Yeah, you know, right. Sorry about that. Why don't we go offline? I'll give you a phone number to call, and you can talk to them directly.
Okay, Bernie, can you manage that?
Yeah, I can do that.
Okay.
Would they be available right now?
Very possibly.
I'll take another phone call, Bernie, while you handle this off air.
Okay.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And I'll call them and bring them in.
Okay. Sounds good. Okay, 212-279-3400, while Bernie's booking guests on, while the show is in progress. Oh, great. Speaking of PCS phones, I'm really mad at Sprint PCS now because I don't know what it is. I think they've just gotten too popular. They basically, you run out of space. You know, you make a phone call and it doesn't go through anymore. You have to wait. You have to wait about four or five attempts now for the call to go through. And lots of times it just gets cut off for no reason. You have a strong signal, and it just, I guess, somebody barges in and overrides you, and you suddenly are knocked off again. You have to make the call a second time. I don't know. It's getting annoying. I mean, I guess it's good that the service is popular, but if you don't expand the architecture to handle it, it's kind of pointless. OmniPoint also did something annoying today. You subscribe to these services where you get text messages, and that's something that Sprint PCS is supposed to be offering. They've been claiming this now for months, but so far nothing. With OmniPoint, I get weather, I get news, I get business, all that kind of fun stuff. Today, I got an advertisement. Yes, isn't that nice? Today, I got advertisement from. I'll see if I can find it here. Okay, yeah, this. This came from a special number that they send out. OmniPoint Perk. Purchase tickets to April 27th Rainforest Concert in New York City before the public. Dial star RFI from your OmniPoint phone. Limited availability. Call now. I mean, come on. This is this isn't a commercial TV station here. This is my phone. I don't need to see ads showing up, you know, with beeping and waking me up and things like that. This is not what you want from a phone company. That's just silly. So hopefully that won't be happening any more times. They've introduced a new weekend rate, 5 cents a minute, which I believe goes from 12:01 a.m. Saturday morning to 11:59 p.m. Sunday night. And that beats Sprint PCS as far as per minute rates. Sprint PCS still beats them on per minute rates all other times. And a feature that I've been playing with, showing people, that I thought was really cool that OmniPoint offered was the weather, where you can get weather from any part of the nation just by typing in the city and sending it to box 444, and it comes right back to you and gives you the weather. Well, I just saw in their newsletter that they're now charging 30 cents every time you do that, so it's no longer a cool feature in my definition. Bernie S., are you back? Oh, that silence indicates that Bernie S. Oh, you know what? Bernie S. is gone altogether. How about that? I have to call him back now. Let's get ourselves a dial tone. So far, nobody has come up with the phone number for the Bell Atlantic hotline. And I should caution you, if we get it in the last few minutes of the show, the same thing's going to happen as last week, where we don't have time to play the whole thing, because it's a rather long, extended Shakespearean drama thing that they do for this whole introduction to the 646 area code. Bernie. You there?
No, you had the wrong number.
Okay. Sure. Okay, we have the wrong number somehow. I don't know how we managed that. And I can't see the hang up on this one. Okay, there we go. Let's try that one more time. Dial tone? I dialed the right number. I did. I definitely did. Okay, we're going to try this one more time. Hopefully I won't get that strange person again.
Hello.
Ah, that sounds better. Okay, this is Bernie, right?
I apologize for that miscommunication. The person who we had on the phone knew all about it, but he was just reluctant to talk about it.
Okay.
You
don't know what happened to us. We just got a strange woman on your phone line, too. We don't know what that was all about.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm.
She claimed we had the wrong number, but I dialed the exact same thing twice. So I don't know how I managed to do that.
Oh, you can thank Sprint PCS for that one.
No, actually, well, you know what? Maybe that was Sprint PCS. Although she didn't sound like she was on a cellular phone. She sounded
Have
like
you
she
noticed with your Sprint PCS voicemail that at the tail end of your voicemail messages, sometimes you're hearing someone else's voicemail?
I noticed at the tail beginning of lots of phone calls, I hear somebody else's voice. I also noticed that a lot of calls are getting dropped. A lot of calls are busy, you know, where you can't get a line out. A lot of times when you call somebody, you can't get to them because all the trunks are busy.
Like a reorder?
Yeah.
A reorder
signal? Yeah, one ring and a reorder.
Yep, I've been getting that too.
Yeah, it's a real pain. And, you know, sometimes I'm like walking along in a city street and my signal suddenly plummets to zero, just like somebody unplugged it or something, and then it comes right back with five bars. Has that ever happened to you?
It's happened to me. I think they're having problems with their network.
I think they're going to have even more problems if they don't fix these ones. It's it's pretty annoying, you know? You come to depend on these things, and they let you down.
Well, I feel like I let you down, but not to giving you the proper steel
radio.
Oh, no,
that's okay.
Info.
That's okay.
But I can shed a little bit of light on it, but this is, you have to realize this is fourth-hand information.
Okay, well, we'll take it for what it's worth then. Go ahead.
Last week, the station was visited by an agent of the Federal Communications Commission. And, again, I was not there, but what I was told happened was that the FCC said that, you know, you're operating. The FCC was claiming that the station was causing interference to a licensed station. Whether that's the case or not remains to be seen. Frequently, the FCC will say that, and that may not be the case. But there was no affidavit saying that really was true or not.
Uh-huh.
But that's one of the justifications the FCC can use to try to shut a station down. They were not, from what I understand, they were not permitted into the station to see the equipment because they didn't have a search warrant.
Now, why is it that when they come, they don't bring a search warrant? That happened to Radio Mutiny, too, and I believe it happened to Free Radio Berkeley.
Yes, it did happen to Radio Mutiny, and it may have happened to Free Radio Berkeley. But it's a complicated process to get a federal search warrant. They have to go to get it from a federal judge, show probable cause. It's much easier for the feds just to stop by and try to intimidate their way in. And they're often successful in doing that. They weren't successful in doing that with Radio Mutiny or with Steel Dish Radio or Free Radio Berkeley, as far as I know. But what they do say when they stop by is that they can give you a cease and desist order, basically a letter saying that you have to stop transmitting or they will have a search warrant, and they will execute it with federal marshals who will take away equipment, arrest people, smash things, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't happen last week at Steal This Radio. They were just visited and told to cease and desist, and that if they did not, that they'd be bringing the federal marshals with them. So I think Steal This Radio was trying to figure out what they're going to do now, whether they're going to stay on the air, whether they're going to move to another location, what they're going to do. So that's mm-hmm. The gentleman I had on the phone, Pete Treatish, who started Radio Mutiny, was meeting with the folks at Steal This Radio yesterday discussing their options. And I don't think he felt comfortable talking about specifics. And like I said, the specifics I had were fourth-hand information.
Okay, so, well, we'll be keeping abreast of the situation. I'm sure this is going to come up at the conference next month.
That's true. In fact, I just got the premier issue of Hobby Broadcasting Magazine. Have you heard of this?
I've heard of this, yes. This is Volume 1, Number 1, correct?
Volume 1, Number 1, published by a gentleman named Andy Yoder, who's a longtime pirate radio book writer. Quite a nice guy. You can find this magazine at probably bookstands, I imagine, it's being sold. There's a two-page article in there about the upcoming micro-broadcasting conference coming up in April, April 3rd through 5th here in Philadelphia. And we will have the chief of enforcement at the FCC, or chief of compliance, rather, and one of the lead attorneys with the American Civil Liberties Union here in Pennsylvania, who was greatly involved with the successful constitutional challenge to the Communications Decency Act last year. Actually, it was more than last year. It was about a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Yoder with Hobby Broadcasting will also be at the conference, and we'll be discussing topics of interest to people who are disgusted with what's on the air these days, and really the whole free radio movement is about better radio. As you're well aware, the FM radio spectrum is pretty much like a wasteland now. There's just a few bright spots, and you could live in a city where there are no bright spots.
Mm-hmm.
So,
fortunately, we're on one of the bright spots right now.
You are on one of the few bright spots on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad you are. I can give a telephone number for more information about the radio conference.
Why don't you do that? Yes, because we're going to get some more phone calls. 212-279-3400. Go ahead.
Okay. Let me find it here. It is area code 215.
You're really ready today, aren't you, Bernie?
Well, you caught me at a bad time. Let's see. Telephone number for the conference. Here we go.
Okay.
Area code 215-472-4903. If you call that number, you will you'll get a tape with more information about the conference. The location has not been hammered down yet. We're struggling between two large places and trying to get the best price for it, that sort of thing. So that space will be determined in about a week. But you can call that information and get the exact times and where the conference is going to be held, that sort of thing, if you call that number.
Okay. Excuse me one moment. Do you need to do this right now? This has to be done during the show? I mean, are you going to announce the results or something?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's the point.
So you want me to give you my voicemail password to do this?
I don't think you have any other messages other than the one I left you, so...
Can I have my phone and I'll change it to something else and then...
Right.
Because it's a certain algorithm that I don't like to have made public. And if you know that, you could figure out other things, you know, other secret things that I'd rather not reveal. It's, you know, a question of privacy here. So they're doing something with my OmniPoint phone in the other room. Kind of scary. I don't know exactly where this is going to go. All right. 212-279-3400. Good evening. You're on the air. Speak up, please.
Yeah, this is Ed in Detroit. I wondered if you got some information faxed to you about a month ago from a Detroit cellular phone company.
I can't remember. Describe it a little better, because we get all kinds of things faxed to us all the time.
It would have been from AirTouch Cellular.
Uh-huh. Oh, are you the guy that faxed us like about 500 pages of phone numbers or something like that?
I would never do that. I wondered if you got it.
Well, I think my comment there should pretty much indicate the answer to that one.
Okay.
Yeah. Interesting stuff there.
Hey, I just wanted to say, Manuel, you got a great show.
Well, thanks.
I wish you had been up last week. I thought the feds pulled you guys off the air.
You thought the feds pulled up? No, it was MCI. It was an MCI billing dispute.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll let someone else get on the line. You're fantastic. Take it easy.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
You're not going to leave us all hanging about what this information was, are you?
Well, I'm afraid I can't discuss it right now.
Oh, come on.
I'm trying to change my password in one ear while taking calls in the other.
Change your passwords with your ear?
No, never mind. Let's take another phone call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, let someone else get on the line. You're
fantastic. Yeah, speak up, please.
Oh, hey. Hi there. It's Walter calling from Charlottesville. How are you?
From where?
From Charlottesville. I was up there over the summer.
Okay.
Remember me. I'm calling actually for a couple of purposes. The first, I'm curious what you know about NAMs with PCSs. I'm calling from a CDMA-compatible PCS.
Okay.
Are you familiar with the concept of a NAM?
Because
I'm not.
The number assignment module.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay, I'm new to this. All I know is from listening to Off the Hook. With my PCS, it gives you the option to switch NAMs.
Yes.
Now, what I'm interested in here is I'm using a local company because it's dirt cheap. And
what is your local company?
Pardon me?
What is your local company?
I'm using CFW Communications. Intellos is the name of it. It's a division of CFW.
Okay.
And it's cheap. It's like it's $50 a month for unlimited usage, free calls across Virginia, etc. Problem is, I can't leave Virginia. They don't have roaming service. So I was hoping that I could work with Sprint to be able to use their NAM, I don't know if this is even applicable, to be able to identify myself as a different person or a different subscriber entirely when I'm in other parts of the country.
What kind of handset do you have?
I'm using the Qualcomm generic soap bar kind of handset.
The soap bar one?
Yeah,
the
big, one, big ugly thing.
Well, is it the one that says Sony on it also?
No, all it says is Qualcomm.
Okay,
there's no model number, or else I'd give it to you.
Is the front of it sort of curved
no,
around?
No, it's perfectly rectangular.
Okay, another
there's
one.
There's no model number, unfortunately.
Got you, okay. Unfortunately,
is it just a feasible concept, at least?
Well, technically it's feasible, but unfortunately Sprint TCS has a policy. They refuse access to their network from any handset that is not branded as a Sprint TCS handset. even though Qualcomm makes the handsets for Sprint and Sony makes handsets for Sprint, unless they say Sprint on it, they refuse to allow them to work. Now, the way they get that to work is they have a database of all the electronic serial numbers of Sprint-branded handsets.
Mm-hmm.
Unless your handset is one of those serial numbers, they will. You can't even go into a Sprint. You couldn't even cancel your service. You canceled your service and walked into a Sprint PCS store, and even though that handset may be a 1900 megahertz CDMA handset, perfectly capable of operating on their network, they will not give you an account using that handset. It makes no sense. It makes no sense technically.
No.
They just want to have control over the handsets that are accessing their network.
I knew I didn't like Sprint.
So I don't like that policy either, but that's their policy.
A couple minor things. Anybody's living in 804 down here in Charlottesville, you can get the ANI, Loopback, all that at 297-0001. And Beowulf, who's on channel off the hook right now, is begging somebody in New York to dial 1-800-322-3511. Go on off the hook and tell them what it does. So if anybody's in New York, just do it and he'll be quiet.
Well, I don't know if I want to do it. What do you think, Bernie?
No, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
Already got myself into trouble tonight.
Plus, we're running out of time, so we got to get moving. But thanks for the caller. Let's go on to another call. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook. All right. That's enough of that. Good evening. You're on the air.
I just wanted to say that, it's Indigo again.
How you doing?
All right. I was experiencing, the same problems with AT&T PCS. It sucks, too.
Uh-huh. Do you use AT&T PCS?
Yeah, the coverage is, really horrible in my area. And not only that, whenever I try to, make a call, especially, at night when, it's peak usage, it never goes through. It takes, 30 times to even, get the call through. And then I'm always getting, disconnected, and it's really crappy.
Oh, that's disheartening to hear, because I don't really know anything about AT&T PCS. Bernie, have you had any experience with them?
I was just talking with a salesman this evening who sold AT&T PCS. He didn't have a lot of technical information. He did say that the coverage was better than Sprint and available in more markets, but I don't know that to be a fact.
What about prices, though?
Their pricing is pretty cheap.
It was cheap.
It was $24.99, and you get... The first 60 minutes is free, and then you get free nights and weekends for the year, and you only have a one-year contract, and you get the free numeric messaging.
When you say free nights and weekends, what, you mean really free and not a penny? You could spend all weekend long?
There's not even, with Bell Atlantic, they charge you, I forget what the hell it's called, but, the few cents per minute landline charges. But AT&T doesn't do that either, and I got my statement from last month.
Bernie,
free.
Does that beat Sprint, Bernie?
No. Nothing beats the introductory rate I got with Sprint, which I'm guaranteed to 2001, is 1,500 minutes a month for $75.
Uh-huh.
Which works out to 5 cents a minute.
How about the free weekends, though? They don't offer something like that.
No free weekends for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because
I don't think anybody gets that on Sprint.
Nope.
Okay. It's free.
That's a great thing. I would use my phone all weekend if it was free.
Yeah, and it's free in all of New York, parts of New Jersey, parts of Connecticut, I think, too, and...
Sounds like you'd want to stock up on batteries for the weekend.
It's pretty nice. And it's, free all weekday from 9 p.m. to 7 a.m., I think, too. So it's not bad if you use it at night, too.
You know, even though all these wireless services really seem to suck now, as far as quality of service, you got to put it in perspective. I don't know if you remember back in the earlier days of cellular. I had a cellular phone back in 1986. And... That service really sucked, too.
Yeah, it was expensive, too. You had to pay for those.
It was very expensive. The phones themselves were about, a couple thousand dollars.
And you had two hands to lift them, too.
And it had to bolt in your trunk.
Right.
And you could hear other people's conversations, which was okay.
That happened
okay, but you didn't want them to hear your conversations at the same time. You know, it was just horrible. It was worse than the PCS services are now. So I predict within a few years... Yeah, the bug will be worked out. I would hope it happened sooner than that.
You know, I had a dream though, as I was driving in, to the city today, of the future, of what the future is going to hold for us.
You were driving through the city of the future?
Well, no, I was just thinking. You know, I do that sometimes when I drive. And I had just called information. This is how Sprint PCS works. You call information there, and they give you the number, and for no additional charge, they connect you to the number, which is kind of cool. But what's bad is when you're driving and you lose the person that you're talking to, you don't know what the number was. It's not on your screen, so if you redial, you're going to get the information operator again.
However, you can use the star back feature. Are you familiar with that?
Star back?
Yes, the star back feature.
Sprint, sounds like something a football team has.
Sprint promotes this. You can hit star. You there?
Yes.
Heard a click. I thought I lost you.
No.
Thought it was Sprint knocking me off the phone again. You can hit what is it? Star pound or star talk. I forget which it is.
Okay.
And it will connect you. If you call Sprint, they'll tell you what it is. And it will connect you back again to their directory assistance operator, and you can do that up to 4 times and not pay for additional call lookup. So you could do that.
Oh, really?
Star back feature, get the number again of the person you were just talking to, and they will reconnect you at no charge.
Oh, that's interesting. It just was a bit of a pain. But anyway, as I was driving along, cursing out my phone for disconnecting me at that point, I was thinking, you know how you have these little phone books inside your phone where you can store like 100 names and you see, the name of the person calling you when they call you because you've entered it as that person.
And then everybody gets to hear the touch tones as you're pressing buttons.
Yeah, but how about this? How about in the future when memory is really, really, cheap and everything is stored on a chip, you have the entire phone book of the entire nation on your phone or accessible, and you simply scroll down your phone to find, the Howard Johnson's nearest you or something like that. You hit enter and you call that. No information, nothing like that. It's just all available all the time. Online information integrated into your phone.
I'm sure they charge some monthly fee for that, for the updating and all that. But,
it'll be reflected in your rates. No charge.
I think that'd be a good idea. Well, yeah. It wouldn't have to be memory in the phone handset. There's no reason the Sprint PCS phones and the Omnipoint phones are digital terminals on a network. There's no reason they couldn't be connected to a database where you could just access that database of phone numbers directly on their switch.
That's true. Well, that's something to think about, and we'll see how long
it
takes
feature.
For that to happen. Okay, thanks for the call. We're going to move on to another phone call. Take care.
See you later.
All right, 212-279-3400. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Yeah, hi. I wanted to let you guys know a few things about Sprint.
Okay.
Sprint
seems to be the topic tonight.
Yeah. One thing is that about the bad phone service.
Right.
I'm also in the New York area, and last month I gave them a call. Apparently, if you call to complain about the service, they give you money back, $20, $30. The way they do it is they look at your phone bill, look at 2 consecutive calls,
uh-huh.
And if they see 2 consecutive calls, they give you money for that. Also,
yeah, I'm going to try that.
Also, if you complain that you've been losing calls coming in, you
right.
can't even get those calls in,
right.
they give you credit for that. Apparently, I called today to get it again this month, and what happened was Sprint said that their network was down today and they could not access my account. So I don't know what that means, but, something's wrong with Sprint there.
Wow. Okay, so it sounds like they're having their share of trouble.
Right. Also, they said that they were going to put up new cell lines in the New York area.
Uh-huh. Well, they better hurry, because, everyone's subscribing to the service now, and it's getting really crowded.
Right.
So
they said they were going to put up all new cell lines in the New York area and uh-huh. the city area.
Uh-huh.
And so it should get much better. So.
Okay. Well, we'll look forward to it.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
Sure.
A lot of people are using these services now.
Money back from Sprint.
That's something. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, where are you calling from?
New Jersey.
New Jersey. Okay.
Yeah,
how
you guys doing?
What's going on over there?
No, I just heard something, and maybe you can clarify this, about the AT&T network. And there's different, what is it, CDM or TCDM? What's the difference?
CDMA and TDMA.
Right. Now, right. CDMA is supposedly...
That's the old-fashioned cellular, right, Bernie?
No, CDMA is the new-fashioned.
CDMA, I'm sorry, I got it backwards. CDMA is the old-fashioned.
Yeah.
CDMA right. is the, PCS type.
CDMA is superior, right?
There's a carrier division multiple access and time division multiple access,
right.
I think are the acronyms.
Time division, right. My understanding was the phones that AT&T is running, trying to get rid of or, giving great deals on is that they're TDMA. And eventually, because they got hooked up, when they got into this whole digital cellular system, they hooked up with the TDMA, and it wound up being CDMA was better.
Oh, it's much better.
And it's my understanding that these phones that they're giving people almost for nothing is that they're all TDMA, and when they switch over, then eventually after they get rid of a lot of phones, that they're gonna be switching to TDMA.
Well, it's not gonna be an overnight thing, but yes, that is probably what's going to happen.
The reason they want to shut down TDMA is because they can only squeeze in about with TDMA, it gave them about three prescribers in the same bandwidth that an analog subscriber would have. So you get three for one, and three times as many customers is three times as much revenue. CDMA gives them about 10 times the number of subscribers per unit of bandwidth compared to analog cellular. So it's more than three times more profitable for them to offer CDMA versus TDMA. So naturally, they want to squeeze the most customers in and make more money.
I see. I guess it depends on, you know, your usage. If you're going to be in a small area, OmniPoint works, or Sprint works, or a few of the other guys. But if you're going to be going from coast to coast, or I think you need somebody that you can that'll switch you over, and that also runs the biggest network.
Actually, well, I think the way OmniPoint works, though, it's a GSM carrier, so they would naturally have contracts with other GSM carriers in other cities, so you could still use it in other places. I think as the technology improves, it won't make a difference so much where you travel from, you know, all around the world. It should be able to work.
Eventually, it will come to that, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'd say within 5 years, it'll be pretty seamless, yeah. No matter which system you're using.
But I look to your show to enlighten me on these things, and also your callers.
Okay.
It's great having you guys out there.
Well, thanks for calling.
Thanks. Have a good night.
Take care. See if we can squeeze in one more. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
How you doing? What's
all
up?
All right. Give you some clues to your PCS problems.
Okay.
They've been working with line-of-sight problems, LOS problems, and they're redoing their reinforcement cells, like little sub-cells in between, and the buildings are finding a lot of dead zones in Manhattan. Unfortunately, an interesting sideline on that is, as Bernie would be familiar with, is that if you've ever been to a music concert and two notes are coming in at the same area, you can sometimes get cancellation. They're having a little trouble with FM capture effect.
Yes.
And nulls being produced by their actual cell sites.
I've noticed that the signal seems to sometimes move in like a wave and then sort of move out again. You know, you're sitting in a room and the signal comes in and then it just like evaporates.
Well, that's because they're doing some tuning tests on some of these reinforcement sites, and I'm willing to bet you they're knocking their customers off while they're doing it.
Uh-huh. I wouldn't be surprised.
And
the old wave interference problem. No matter if you throw two stones in a pond,
mm-hmm.
watch how the ripples interfere with each other, you'll see there's certain areas where they cancel each other out. That's what's happening with Sprint.
Yeah, that's where I am.
Yeah, well, they're sitting there trying to map out because, you know, Manhattan's a pretty rough area, and the signals tend to also bounce and reflect at 1.9 gig.
You know, I did something this weekend that I never did before, ever, in my life. I went to the Statue of Liberty. And, you know, I think they have a transmitter on top of the Statue of Liberty. I think they have it in their hand because I was there and I had a 5-bar signal.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised since the torches shut off to cover all the people running cell phones and whatnot on the ferries. I'm sure they'd want to cover that area. The bay's not that small. They'd need
right.
to... That, and there's also a cell site on Governor's Island.
Uh-huh. But I mean, to actually put it on the statue, that's unbelievable.
Well, you can hide it easily. The antennas are not that big.
That's true.
You can hide them in the vents in the torch in the windows facing
uh-huh.
outwards. By the way, I don't know if you're interested, they now make a car kit for your Ericsson.
Oh, really?
So you can put a duck on it. I don't think it amplifies, but I think it allows you to put the adapter in, answer the phone calls, but what's nice is it puts an outside antenna, so you don't sit there and change lanes unexpectedly on the LIE.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good, then. That's,
They've been playing with the subsites. I ran into somebody who was doing some work on the roof, and I noticed the frequency antenna. I asked him where he was from. He said some company down in New Jersey that's been contracted to redo all the Sprint sites up on some of the taller buildings in Manhattan. He told me that they're making these little subsites, and that they have to tune them because the cells have to be reached to a certain size or a certain footprint. They're still working out adding these little footprints in between where another site should have covered it, but it's being eclipsed by a building or where some other obstruction they hadn't taken into account when they took their last survey.
Okay, listen, we're out of time, but thanks very much for the information. Hopefully we'll get some more on this in future shows.
Right. Okey-doke.
Take care. And hopefully we'll be able to find out where all the cell sites are, because I think that's public information that should be known. Bernie, I want to thank you very much for being on the show tonight.
Thank you.
And I guess nothing happened with my OmniPoint phone because it hasn't returned, and I'm kind of worried about that. We'll find out about that next week. Another edition of Off the Hook from 8 to 9 p.m. Till then, this is Manuel Goldstein. Have a good night.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. Couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Oh, Billy Bones was the best thing.
the Colombian military in the name of the drug war, human rights groups are warning that this assistance is being used against the civilian population.
In response to this policy, the Colombian Media Project is coordinating a solidarity delegation to Colombia in June, where humanitarian aid will be offered to indigenous and Afro-Colombian communities in that country.
To kick off the delegation, CMP will be holding a benefit dance party for peace on Saturday, March 21st at the Breck Forum, 122 West 27th Street in New York City.
The party will begin at 9 p.m. and will feature the best in Colombian, Afro-Cuban, and Caribbean music mixed by DJ Power Surge. All proceeds benefit the Columbia Media Project and its summer delegation to Colombia.
That's the Colombia Party for Peace, Saturday, March 21st at 9 p.m. at the Brecht Forum. For more information, call 212-802-